Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning to you. One of my favorite topics today, acquired savant syndrome. Yes, indeed, a savant. Definition of a savant, a person of otherwise normal intelligence. Definition of savant, a person of otherwise normal intelligence, even below normal intelligence, as dictated by IQ tests, that has creative aspects that are off the charts genius level. Now, these savants can be known or unknown. They can suffer from identified neurological disorders, autism, Asperger's syndrome, so on and so forth. Or they can simply be everyday people out in the street who may or may not be known as particularly intelligent, but have aspects to them of prodigious off-the-chart qualities. Einstein comes to mind as one of our most famous. Tesla was truly a savant, a genius in the classic sense, but also a savant. If you study these people, they have eccentricities off the chart, sensitivities off the chart. It's not what today's show is about. Today's show is about normal people working in all bastions of society. And one day, a tragedy occurs. They get hit in the head. Some sort of massive trauma to the head. It could be an internal trauma like a stroke, or they get hit by a flying baseball. Close to death. Even at the loss of senses, sight, hearing, suffering, pain, out of it emerges genius-like capabilities. A rarity. No, not a rarity. Common. Common. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, if you haven't heard me before. This is Straight Talk on Health. Very unique health show. We're not really talking about the supplement you should buy. We're talking about the knowledge it takes to apply the nutrition that you might buy. Very, very different. And everything else included. Because health is not just nutrition. Health is a more comprehensive, integrated. It doesn't mean you do everything. It means you have to know how to layer it, specific to you, that secret code that defines your journey. And that's what this show is about, giving you a sense of that. So please, if you can, get on the website. Talking to people, more than occasionally, they tell me they hear it on the radio. They just don't want to take the great leap into that computer. I don't know what to say at this point. Please, get the computer, get on the website. If you're driving, when you get home, the website is straighttalk.cc. Picture number two. This is out now at your newsstands. Scientific American. They've got a specific book on the mind. Scientific American Mind, Your Inner Genius. Out of this series, which was last month's, it's not there now, it just left the stands. Again, Scientific American Special Collector's Edition, as you can read. We're reading from picture number two on the website. Got a whole chapter. It's like page 54 on people who have head traumas, dangerous, life-threatening head traumas, and come out as geniuses. Go to the top of the page. Go to the top of the website page here. Above that YouTube that we're going to look at later, click to view full article on Eureka Moments. So on the site there, just above that video that we've had placed onto the site today, above that, click to view full article on Eureka Moments. This is a page taken out of this article. And this article is in that magazine. I'll get the page in a moment. It's page 54, as I said. It's called Accidental Genius. And this is a page out of that. Eureka Moments. I just want you to take a moment here with me. They're going to give you four of like 15 examples in the article, and there are hundreds. Fascinating. Acquired savantism has given people the ability to pursue poetry, music, instantaneous mental calculations, feats of memory, so on and so forth. Tommy McHugh, 51 years old, Liverpool, England. No interest in poetry or painting. In 2001, a hemorrhage in the skull that damaged the frontal area. He suddenly began filling notebooks with poems and spent much of his time painting and sculpting. Physicians attribute this new talent to relative disinhibition, a big word for we don't know what to say about it. Just a ridiculous notion that neurologists will attach to bizarre phenomenal experiences that they encounter and don't have any explanation of. Orlando Sorrell, mentioned earlier, began doing calendar calculations as a boy after being knocked out by a baseball. Derek Amato, 40-year-old corporate trainer, Colorado, no special interest or skill in music. In 2006, he dove into the shallow end of a swimming pool, a severe concussion, losing hearing in one ear. Following the discharge, he was inexplicably drawn to the piano, which he had never touched before, began to see black and white spots that he was able to transpose from his head into notes on the piano. Now he makes his living composing, performing, and recording. Come on. Now that is off the chart. That is bizarre. That is phenomenal. That is certainly not the majority of people who have had head trauma. When I see clients with health concerns ranging anything from the ones that will kill you to the ones that just plague you and drive you out of your mind, anyone I see, I look for a history of head trauma. Head trauma, unlike corporate opinion out there in the allopathic land, head trauma will, down the line, drive your body into any type of disease. It is a serious, dangerous thing not to have resolved. And if you study disease, and I study disease, you'll always see, or often see, head traumas 10, 20, 30 years later, and people with premature disease cases. And nobody makes the link. And there's reasons for this. We're going to get into it today. But the opposite happens, and that's what we're talking about here, not the majority of times. Now, there's reasons for both, and that's what's so exciting about today's show. Timothy Sicoria, an orthopedic surgeon suffering, orthopedic surgeon from New York, was talking on a telephone when he was struck by lightning. Get that one, 1994, I guess, when we had payphones, right? Presumed to be in cardiac arrest, he was resuscitated by a nurse who was waiting to use the phone. Lucky him, right? For a week or two, he had some mild memory problems. These eventually subsided, and he resumed his orthopedic surgery practice full-time with no residual effects. But one thing had changed. He developed a consuming obsession with classical music. Before the incident, he thought of himself mainly as a rocker. But his newfound obsession morphed into a desire to play classical music as well. Shortly after his injury, he heard music in a dream. The tune stuck with him, resonating in his head whether he was awake or asleep. Finally, he decided to transcribe the earworm into a 26-page concert piano piece called Fantasia. So on and so forth. Jason Patchett, and we go on and on. And if you read the article, so many articles of these seeming tragedies becoming blessings. I mean, normally you're struck by lightning, you do go into cardiac arrest. I mean, you're dead. Or it fries you in some way. I've had people who've suffered from electrocutions of sorts, lightning included, and these things are extremely tragic. And yet, in the literature, you become an accidental genius, the name of the article. Now, what is going on? I have an explanation I want to give to you today. As always, it will require some understanding, some education. If you've been listening to the show regularly, I think we can move with this. If you're first time to the show, I think this may make no sense to you and you'll get a headache from listening. But listen anyway. Then get on the website and listen to the show again. And again, look at the pictures and see if this touches a certain part of you where you know truth. And that's the theme of the show. All right. Let's understand what happens up in the cranium. Up in your skull, you have a brain. I want you to go to picture number 23. Go to picture number 23. Up in your skull, you've got this brain. It sits in that bony encasement, the hard bones of the skull. That brain is covered in something called dural tissue. That should ring a bell. You hear me talk about this on the show all the time. There is a way to access that dural tissue as a muscle that if you can actually manipulate the dura of your own brain, you can begin to massage the brain, to twist it and turn it, to wring it out, to separate it, to torque it, in such a way that you can change its electrical configuration. And there's a way to do that. That's what is happening. Miraculously, incidentally, inadvertently, with these people who have these head traumas. What we call the torque, or the compressive force of the dural tissue that surrounds all our brains, is inadvertently twisted in a way that actually ends up benefiting cerebral function at the brink of destroying it. Now, we call acquired savant syndrome something that's accidental, and in the cases we're citing, these are derived from accidents, but you have to understand that there have been delineated, deliberate processes through the centuries to do exactly the same thing, with no risk of injury. Perhaps a risk of insanity, but no risk of injury. In other words, a pathway, a neurological pathway, a series of neurological exercises designed to actually accomplish what these savants are accomplishing inadvertently. The evidence, well, let's go through the process. First, I want you to remember the dural tissue. So there it is, that picture that's surrounding your brain. It's not just surrounding your brain. Look at the next picture, picture number 24. Look in the center there, something called the falx cerebrae. Falx cerebrae. That's that same dural tissue I just showed you, but that's the dural tissue that divides the hemispheres. The left and the right hemisphere is divided by that dural plane. And those blue veins in there are the conduits through which the brain drains its poison so the brain doesn't get sick, so you don't neurodegenerate. I want you to keep your eye there on the left-hand side, the crista galli of the ethmoid bone. I want you to remember that, the crista galli of the ethmoid bone. Again, we're going to tie together a bunch of anatomical systems that I've taught you over the last 3 years. We're going to tie them together to make a point to understand really what acquired savant syndrome really constitutes. And what you could use yourself if you really, really got the point of the show and were ready to activate yourself. And whether you're in a disease state or you want to have a savant experience, well, either way, you go through this process. It's just a matter of where you start. If you've got a tumor in your brain, you're starting in one place. If you've got chronic low back pain, you're starting in another place. If your body's already healthy, well, then you're starting in a third place. The point is everybody is tied together by the same systems. It's the failure of these systems and the depth of the failure of these systems, these divine systems in the body, that defines your health issue, your disease issue. So now we're looking not at just the dura over the skull. We're looking at it that divides the right and the left hemispheres. Let's keep going with that. Let's look at picture number 27. Now there's another one. Look at what they call, well, actually they didn't name it here, but look at the dural tissue at the base of the skull, that fibrous tissue there on the lower left-hand side of this picture. That's the same dural tissue that divides the left and the right hemisphere. That's the same dural tissue that actually covers the brain. That's called the tentorium cerebelli. Latin-like names, right? Falx cerebrae, dura mater. Dura mater means tough mother. Then we've got the falx cerebrae. I just showed you that. That divides the left and right hemisphere. In the lower left-hand quadrant of this page here, and again, this is picture 27, you're looking at the tentorium cerebelli. Now, collectively, then, what I'm trying to get you to see three-dimensionally is that the brain is covered in dural tissue because it's over the top. It's sitting on dural tissue. It's divided by dural tissue. Let's give you another notion of that, another understanding of that. Take a look at picture 25. Now, there's a better 3D image of the dural tissue. In the pink and purplish is the dura, and the brain is in between and around those sites. Now, that dural tissue is tied all the way down your cord. It's surrounded. I hope those of you listen to the show regularly, as many of you do all over the world at this point, I'm glad to say. You know that when you bend down and touch your toes and move your sacrum, the tube of dural tissue from the sacrum to the top of your head through your neck and into your brain is pulling. When you touch your toes, you're pulling the dural tissue around the brain. You have to understand that. Now let's intensify that pull. Now let's intensify that pull. Now let's intensify that pull. And you can see how your brain, it's like brain massage. Suppose you could pull your brain out of your skull and just roll it around in your hand like some dough, like you were making pizza. Suppose you could do that. You could roll your brain around in your hand and then stuff it back in your skull. Well, let me tell you something. That's what people do. That's no exaggeration. The dural tissue is a level in your anatomy, a deep level, that no matter who you are, no matter what disease you have, no matter what goal you have in life, your journey is to access that tissue, to manipulate that tissue. And when you get to the point where you can manipulate it through trained exercise, through your pursuit of health, through your intelligent, organized, studied, explored pursuit to find health, your communion with God as you pursue your health, when you can make that coherent and hit critical mass, you'll bend your brain inside out and upside down. Geniuses are simply people that get there easier. Savants, acquired savant syndrome, is simply an accident of such traumatic impact that the brain turns itself inside out and upside down, because that dural tissue, you go in there with a pin and you poke that dura, you stick a pin in the dural tissue, and you're going to scream Cincinnati backwards. You poke a pin in that dural tissue, you injure that dural tissue. When you get an epidural and they drain the cerebral spinal fluid out of your spinal cord, your brain, which ordinarily floats in cerebral spinal fluid, now compresses the dura and thus the headache. The brain, as you know, does not have nociception. There are no pain sensors in the brain tissue itself. The pain sensors are all in the dural tissue. The dural tissue, from your head down to your sacrum, is the single most nociceptive tissue in your body. It is not the meat of your organs, liver, kidney, spleen. That's not where your pain sensors are. The pain sensors are in the dura. Well, they should be, right? The dura is there to guard and protect the brain. But if you can assuage the dura, persuade it, soften it, cajole it, soften it, twist it, manipulate it, massage it, it will have a prolific effect on the position of the brain as it relates to the bony encasement we call the skull. And the collective effect of this can hypertrophy, can refigure, reconfigure your neuroanatomy. You can change yourself. The Christian saints did this inadvertently. The essence of religious directives, the religious practice, ultimately is intended to do this. And yes, out of the miracle of life, these things can happen accidentally, thus acquired savant syndrome. In Vedic medicine, in Indian medicine, the Siddhas, however you say that word, these gifts that come to these people through training, the Christian saints, through prayer and meditation and devotion and divine service and purification rites. Remember, hundreds of years ago, the saints were in monasteries farming. They were in fields. They were doing things that were part of practice, organic, ecologically sound practices. And these practices had tremendous effect on their being, their entire being. That light beam we paint around their head in the Middle Ages, I take that as something that was literal. And if it's literal, it comes out of the essence of the body. Meaning what? Meaning what in the body produces a halo? You're looking at it. You're looking at tissues that are part of it. Now, I know this through experience. I know this through watching people heal. I know this through the unfolding. When someone comes in with back pain, and someone comes in with other forms of disease, and they comply as their body is fed over the days, weeks, months, and even years with health practice. And I know this because I watch and see and experience the tissue softening, and so do they. And then finally, the skull begins to soften. The tissues up high in the brain soften, and they will talk to you. You will feel them just like you feel somebody massaging your hand or washing your hair when you get your hair cut each month. Or not. Or this doesn't happen to people. Or they don't go into that monthly discipline whereupon they begin to access deeper tissue. And do you know what happens when they don't? They don't heal. You don't heal. I do not see healings. Nor do I see enough people get this, thus the show, just the emphasis today. But it's fascinating to me that you'll pick up Scientific American at a newsstand and read these prodigiously interesting phenomenons. Acquired savant syndrome. One day I'm pumping gas, the next day I'm composing like Beethoven. Much to the fascination of the neurological community, when we have practices before us, written, delineated, understood, and exalted, right before our eyes. Again, it's like Einstein says. Where is Einstein here? I have a quote from Einstein. Go to picture number 5. I love this Einstein quote. If you can't explain it to a 6-year-old, you don't understand it yourself. There is so much genius in that statement. If you can't explain it to a 6-year-old, you don't understand it yourself. You're darn right. What we are fallen in love with, and not to our benefit, are complicated versions of simple things. And we pay people to complicate versions of simple things, and then simple things sit on the end of our nose, and we stay sick and suffering for far, far, far too many years because the answer is just too simple for you to wrap your mind around. Healing is getting out of the misdirection that comes with healing. Okay, let's go to the bottom of your body. I want you to go to the 3 diaphragms. Let's look at the diaphragm in the bottom of your body. Let's put this together. Go to the top of the page where I put that YouTube clip, and I want you to start from the beginning, okay? So we're just going to take a few minutes here. Everyone's going to do this at a different pace. But nonetheless, click on that show at the bottom, okay? Just click it on, it show at the top. And just watch it for a moment, and watch how this is the perineal diaphragm, and it's rotating now, and down where the crotch is, where the vagina is, the anus, the penis, so on and so forth, are these membranes, okay? Take a look at these things. You're looking at all the muscles in the perineum. This is called the perineal diaphragm. And you're looking at a show here, a little, 7-minute clip, describing the perineal diaphragm. Now, what you have to understand is that that perineum, ladies, gentlemen, over the age of 70, you're not holding your urine. How many ladies I see that every time they lap, they pee down their leg? Or worse than that, these after birth and you're 35 years old after you've torn, after you've had cesareans. You lose that tone down there, the diaphragm. A diaphragm is a thin sheath of muscle. You're looking at the perineal diaphragm. Check that great clip out later on. The guy did a great job, Dr. Somebody. He did a wonderful job with that. Look at that later. and understand what the perineal diaphragm is. Well, that diaphragm's down low. That diaphragm means you have to be flexible. That diaphragm means to get real power out of that. In other words, to be able to squeeze your anus or your vaginal canal or the penile muscles, to be able to squeeze them with power, that sacrum has to be flexible. The quads, the hamstrings, the psoas, the scars have to be out. The root of your body has to come to life. That diaphragm is down low. Now, I want you to come up a little bit. Well, actually, let's take one last picture. Look at picture number 8. There's the pelvic diaphragm of the male. Take a look at that. Yes, what you have to understand is this relates to your health concern. You wouldn't say, I know you wouldn't say right now, but I have a sleep problem. Does this have anything to do with my sleep? You wouldn't say, I have low back pain. You wouldn't say I have prostate cancer. You wouldn't say I have a brain tumor. You wouldn't say I have lupus or an autoimmune disease or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. You wouldn't say I had IBS. You wouldn't say I have indigestion. You wouldn't say I have these things. And what does this have to do? Could this help those things? I know you wouldn't say that because I might fall off my chair. Because you who have listened to the show know that the way you look at your symptom is how do you use your time, your money, and energy to upgrade systems of your body that have gone defective? Because if you fix a system, if you fix the biliary system, if you fix the alignment of the body, the biomechanics, another system, if you attend to these systems, you fix 1,000 things. You understand that that's the way you think of the symptom that may call you to listen to this show. You who listen to this show are interested in health. You're interested in a higher concept. You're interested in seeing your dreams come true. You're interested in taking the worst part of your life, that disease, and turning it into an asset. And perhaps you're tired of buying herbs or taking independent classes or scanning YouTube videos to hodgepodge and mispatch your healing regimen. I'll try this and see if it works, she says. I'll try him and see if that works, she says. I've tried everything and nothing's worked, you say. Perhaps you're starting to understand that the problem is not the practitioner. The problem is you don't know how to approach a healing. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. If you're serious and you want the journey and you want to take the long cuts and find the pleasure, not the shortcuts where the lie is, then give that number a call, 714-850-1007. It's 2015. We don't have that much time to waste, do we now? Not after the age of 50. We don't have that much time to waste. Take a step. Pelvic diaphragm of the male, you're looking at it. Pelvic diaphragm of the female, that's picture number 7. Those diaphragms have to get toned. You have to develop relationship with them. You have to take it to the place where they begin to pump, where they fasciculate. Now let's go up to the other diaphragm. This is the diaphragm you all know well and love, the one that Pavarotti and all the great singers train. This is the diaphragm around your rib cage. Take a look at that. Look at that diaphragm, that dome-shaped organism there. Again, doesn't it look like the pelvic diaphragm? Yes, it does, because it is. It's a thin dome-like sheath. Now take a look at picture number 10. What that diaphragm is doing as you're breathing. We've done separate shows on breath. I mean, if you listen to this show, help me out here. Doesn't it kind of get under your skin that when you take a breath, something doesn't happen? How many times have you heard me allude to this phenomenon that occurs when you take a diaphragmatic breath? This chi thing, this prana thing, this systemic physiological effect. Doesn't that get you curious? Take a look at this diaphragm. Picture number 10. As you inhale, the diaphragm goes down. As you exhale, it goes up. Your pulmonologists would have you suspect. Your pulmonologists would have you think that everyone does this, that we're all the same. This is nonsense. This is wrong. Don't be part of the stupid club or the naive club. If you've never heard this, you're innocent and naive. But if you hear this time and time again, and it doesn't sink in, I don't know. Could be part of the stupid club. Certainly to rot away in a hospital at 80 or 90 years old, when this is about and abound, when it's everywhere to be seen, to be experienced. When we pray at church, but we don't have the divine celebration in our bodies. Certainly that could border on stupid. But I didn't say that. When you inhale, that dome goes down. And when you exhale, the dome goes up. The dome goes down, the dome goes up. The same thing is happening down in the perineum. As the sacrum bends, as the hamstring stretches, the psoas lengthens, not to mention nolly. As these things occur, a reciprocity, a reciprocal dialogue, a feeling, an orgasmic feeling, will begin to move from down low to up there. Yes, this is as much a part of every culture from the beginning of time, to become alive down low, all the way up to the diaphragm, and then to follow that up high, to follow that up high, to follow it up high. I want you to take a look at picture 14. Take a look at picture 14. Those are the bones of your skull. Parietal, occipital, the zygoma, the temporal bone, the sphenoid, the ethmoid, the vomer, the lacrimal bones, the mandible, the maxillas, the palate, so on and so forth. Look at the bones of the skull. They separate. It's like you can pump the bones of your skull. Perineal diaphragm. The diaphragm around the rib cage. And then the diaphragm up high. The diaphragm up high in the skull that demands that you learn to isolate the individual bones of the skull. Now, what stands in the way of that isolation? Well, first of all, understand when you're born. Look at picture number 16. When you're born as an infant, those isolations are just built into the terrain. Look at that. Look at picture 16. Those are the fontanelles. The infant's skull is soft. The infant is alive. It's pure. It's clean. It's fresh. It's connected to the universe. It's fluid with God. Thus we exalt the infant as it dirties itself through life, becomes hard and crusty and old and mean. Right? That's your fascination with the infant. Well, with that comes the softness in its body, and those bones of the skull are soft, thus the soft head of the infant and the fontanelle. Do you know? Do you understand at 40 or 50 that you can reverse that process? It is training. It takes time. It may take you a year. It may take you 2 years. It may take you 5 years. It may take you 10 years. But what do you have to lose? Think of the way you live now. Think of it. Think of the 9 to 5 and the hustle and the bustle, the lost time. The clock ticks no matter what. And in that journey, the body softens again. It can soften. Where must it soften? The perineal diaphragm. It must soften to the diaphragm mid-range and then ultimately up into the head. Because up in the head, you have a gateway to the dural tissue, but you have to pass through the upper cervical spine. Let's go down to picture number 34. Let's go down to picture 34. Look at the person on the left. This is picture 34. The person on the left, the person on the right. The person on the left is you on your wedding day. The person on the right is you now, or will be you if you don't do something about it. Again, what does this have to do with you and your symptoms? Everything. I know you're not asking yourself, what does this have to do with my arrhythmias of the heart? What does this have to do with my ulcer? What does this have to do with my low back pain? What does it have to do with my knee pain? What does this have to do with my arthritis, my IBS? I know you're not asking that. Because you understand, because you work at the higher plane of health, because you've been educated enough, and thank yourself for that. That was a smart move. Okay. I know you know that the shift, your head from the picture on the right back to the picture on the left, fixes many, many, many things. If you can fix systems in your body, each system you fix potentiates another system. So you upgrade your health. The way you have to look at your symptom is, what do I have to do for my health? You want to know what's special about you and specific to you? What's special and specific to you related to your symptom is not what herb to take to fix the symptom. It's what herb to take to fix the system. What do you need to do, herbally included, to fix the system of health? And what system in you needs to be fixed now? That is the art of health. And a hint, you don't really learn that on radio shows specific to you. And you don't learn it at GNC. And you don't learn it from your vitamin therapist. We haven't evolved yet to where we're really understanding health as an upregulation of systems. So take a look at that then. You're on your way from the perineal diaphragm to the diaphragm around your ribs, and you're going to go up to your head, but your head is situated on your neck like the person all the way to the right, where it says 42 pounds or 34 pounds. You can't get, we'll go to picture number 32. Picture number 32. You can't get to the last great diaphragm. The last diaphragm is the ventricular system of the brain. The ventricular system of the brain. That ventricular system pumps the right ventricle, the left ventricle, the fourth ventricle, the third ventricle. It's pumping the pineal gland. It's pumping the hypothalamus. It's pumping the pituitary. It's pumping your whole brain. It's talking to the diaphragm and the ribcage. It's talking to the diaphragm and the sacrum. The three are talking. They're reciprocating. They're making Mozart together. Or they're crusty, they're old, they're stuck, they're not moving, and neither are you. And when you manifest a disease for lack of communication between those systems, you're left in a bad place running to GNC to find an herb to help your symptom. Don't do that. Get the higher level here. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Take the leap. It's 2015. If you want to start a journey that will last a while and you have the right perspective, you can do anything, anything for your health, anything you want. God put the answer right there if you're willing to take a good, deep, simple look at it. Simple is deep. Deep is simple. Complicated is not deep. Complicated is fast and voluminous across one plane. Do you follow my statement? Do you follow? So on your way up to the ventricular system of the brain, we have a problem, and that is a structural defect, anterior head carriage. And we need that ventricular system pumping. We need that fluidity in the upper cervicals. Otherwise, you cannot pump the dura. The intensity at which that dural tissue pumps and pulls and pumps and pulls will ultimately begin to massage the brain with very deep three-dimensional power. It will purge its toxins out. It will force the stem cell capacities to initiate. It will do many things. And where is the research? Well, where was the research in 1960 when smart people said cigarettes caused cancer and the medical profession et al. Said there's no research to support that? How about cutting out uteruses? How about the regular practice today where we cut a woman's uterus out because she's hemorrhaging and we tell her, you may die from bleeding to death. We'll cut out your uterus. Don't worry. You're 16. You don't need it. We don't tell her that half the blood supply to the ovaries comes off the uterus. We don't tell her her ovaries will shrink. We don't tell her taking the uterus out, the bladder will prolapse. And once it prolapses, you're up at night peeing 2 to 3 times a night. Then you don't make your adrenaline. You don't make your adrenaline. Then you get sick because your reserve energy depletes. Where's the research to support my statement? There isn't any. When something makes sense to you in your gut, go with it. By the time you wait for the eggheads and the whole political system, the whole Machiavellian political nonsense system, to tie it to research, it's 1,000 years later. Don't do that to yourself. And so my point then is that the acquired savant syndrome are accidental flip-flops of the dural system. When you get stung in the head by an electric light beam, like that orthopedic surgeon, right? What do you think happens to the dural tissue? Do you think it responds? Do you think it pulls tight? There was an orthopedic surgeon named Cyriax, C-Y-R-I-A-X. Any of you chiropractors listening or osteopaths know Cyriax. Cyriax dissected out the cadavers, and as the nerve exited certain levels of the spine, found that the dural tissue, if it pulled tight, could pull the nerve from its level, say at the second lumbar, it could pull it up to T10. It could pull it up to T11. Dural torque, as we call it, the tension in the dural tissue, for a whole bunch of reasons, can do anything it wants to your spinal cord and to your brain. And that's what's actually happening in these head traumas. There is profoundly intense dural torque placed by the tragedy. And then as the body decompresses itself from the torque, the brain's been reconfigured. It's been put in the washing machine, dried out, and stuck back into your head. There. Doesn't really have to get a lot more complicated than that. We don't need $50 billion to understand this. Because you know what? It is evidenced in different medical traditions. Chinese Taoist medical tradition, ancient Egypt, Vedic medicine, American Indian medicine, the whirling dervishes, ancient Mayan medicine, stuff that's ancient as in perhaps more advanced than we are today. Yes, indeed. What do you think Moses was doing when he parted the Red Sea? Really, I want you to think about that. Let's come off this sort of cookie-cutter kindergarten mentality that there's a guy up there with a big beard that just came down and smiled. Let's just suppose something. Let's suppose that Moses was in earnest to lead his people to a finer place, out of slavery to the Egyptians. And let's suppose that Moses, in his devotion, in an act of love, trained himself with systematic intelligence to the point where he softened himself and found himself communicating with something that was outside himself. Think about this. I can tell you this. I can tell you through experience, occasionally, all too occasionally, when I see people even touch on this, magical things happen. And I'm talking magic for low openers just in the name of health, like curing your low back pain, like those of you who may have worked with me, who've gotten to that place where you've had openings in your body. You're doing this, and I applaud you. You're doing this, but all you're doing is going into that internal journey we call your body and accessing these tissues that are not emphasized in your medical text. They're understood. They're certainly cut through. You understand when you get brain surgery, low back surgery, we're going in there and we're slicing up the fascia. We're tearing out the dura. We're acting like it doesn't really matter. We're acting like in a cost-benefit procedure, slicing through your dural tissue and scarring the most nociceptive part of your body, most pain-sensitive part of your entire neurological system, that it's worth the cost. And I'm not going to argue that, but my point to you is these things, these tissues are not understood for the divine purpose of them. Perhaps we're overlooking that. Perhaps if you're going to get to picture number 22, look at picture number 22. Perhaps if you're going to light up your pineal gland, perhaps if the chemistry of the body, right? Every time you buy a drug, when you go and buy a blood pressure drug, that drug is patented and passed through FDA scrutiny, and I'm glad it is, after much chemical analysis is done. Suppose the next wave of analysis is beyond chemistry. Suppose it's biophysical. Suppose the chemistry starts to be respected on the level of the physical chemistry, then on the level of the biophysical chemistry. And suppose we become a biophysically run world. Well, guess what? That's where we're going. Of course, Tesla understood that 100 years ago. And suppose that biophysical body of yours lights up. Suppose it just lights up. Suppose you were actually put here by God to find out how you're supposed to light up. I don't think you were brought here without the ability to understand what I'm saying. I think you may not act upon what I'm saying, but just in case you want to, 714-850-1007, take your health concern to the perspective that I give you today, and you'll be delivered from your health concern. I don't think that's anything but simple. Perhaps ultimately, when you light up these deep centers, as you access the dural tissue, the body begins to send stem cells. The stem cells that are in the marrow of the bone, the stem cells that are in the sacred bone, the sacrum, the stem cells that are in the organ themselves. Check out my other 191 shows. Buy a subscription for $24.95. I'm worth 8 cents a show. Do that. Now, what's the relationship between this and breath? Here's some fascinating stuff. Breath. You take a breath up through your nose. I want you to take a look at something I find absolutely fascinating. Go to picture number 28. Go to picture number 28. You see picture number 28? Blow up picture 28 if you can. That's control plus or spread it out on your keyboard. You see where it says the cribriform plate of the ethmoid bone? So picture 28, the top of that skull. This is a superior view of the skull. So we cut your skull out. We pulled your skull out. We pulled your brain out. Your brain sits on that. So now you're just looking at the clean skull from above the top of your page. Crystagalli of ethmoid bone, cribriform plate of the ethmoid bone. You know what crystagalli means if you trace it back pre-Latin? And you'll never find this anywhere. It means spaceship. It means spaceship. Something to the effect of that which transports you out of time into another place. That cribriform plate, those little holes. Look at those little holes there. Here, a better picture of those little holes. Go to picture number 27. See those little holes at the top? Picture number 27. Same picture. Those little holes at the top. Now look at picture number 29. We've taken that bone out. Look at picture 29. If you're listening to this on the radio, tell me how you do this without looking at the pictures. I don't know. I mean, bless you that you can. You must be listening to the tone of my voice. I couldn't understand this show. So you must have special abilities then. You're listening to the tone and you're knowing truth. And that's a great thing. Look at that picture, picture 29. Look at the holes in that bone. That's the ethmoid bone. That's the cribriform plate, separated by the crystagalli. When you take a breath through your nose, so go to picture 30. When you take a breath through your nose, the air goes up your nose and it tentalates the cribriform plate. It vibrates the cribriform plate. And what is sitting on the cribriform plate? The dural tissue. The dural tissue sits on the cribriform plate. And the cribriform plate, as the bones of the skull separate, the ethmoid bone begins to vibrate. And it vibrates the dura. It starts to embed in the dura the frequency of life, drawn up by your feet, into your skull, and down your spine. And then the perineal diaphragm, and the diaphragm in your ribs, and the diaphragm in your brain, and the ventricular system in your brain, and then the pineal gland in between the two colliculuses of the brain, they all start talking to each other. And you soften, and you soften, and you soften. And messages go out. Neurochemical messages go out to your diseased places. And every system begins to work with far, far greater efficiency. You, the collective you, come to life. Do you understand how I could suffer when people reduce what I just explained to you as, what herb do I take for my insomnia? You know, I tread that path for years looking for that herb. I love herbs. You should buy herbs. And you are blessed if that single herb fixes your insomnia. But if it doesn't, but if you've been running around in circles looking for that single elixir that didn't fix that pain or concern that you've had for 10, 20, 30, or 40 years, if you're pushing 60 just about giving up, well, then I have a perspective for you. And this perspective makes sense. So give us a ring, 714-850-1007, if you're serious. Gotta be serious. Which doesn't mean without humor. It just means you have to be open. You gotta stretch your brain a little bit. You gotta come from another angle. That's how all great problems get resolved. You think outside the box. So there you are, picture number 37. Go back, picture 37. There you are, the guy on your left. And there you are, the guy on the right. And the guy on the left needs to become the guy on the right. That is possible. Believe me, I do that. That is possible. But there's no quick fix. You have to work at it. Work is good. Work is a joy. Making your body feel healthy is something everyone should do. Everyone. We eat Haagen-Dazs. We drive Mercedes. Well, we ought to straighten out our bodies. I mean, doesn't that make sense? Okay. Down low in the perineal diaphragm. Up high at the diaphragm around the rib cage. All the way then to the diaphragm up in your brain. The ventricular system. The pumping of these systems until your body starts to initiate high centers. And as those systems pump, the brain spins. And as it spins, you begin to soften. And systems, deep systems, stem cell systems, begin to activate. The enteric nervous system. You know what the enteric nervous system is, right? That's the intestinal villi with its GABA receptors talking to the parts of your brain that have GABA receptors. Gamma aminobutyric acid. The dialogue between the gut and the brain, right? The gut is the second brain. Well, when does that mean something? Functionally, when does it mean something? Those villi, as you initiate these centers I'm talking about, these diaphragms, cerebral, perineal, so on and so forth, the intestinal villi begin to spread their fingers out, and they start to absorb the higher chemical intelligence of the herbs that you take that don't normally work. They don't normally work. The aloe, we write books on aloe. Aloe arborescens, barbedinus, whatever the name of that thing is. The different species of aloes. We write about the unbelievable curative powers of these things, and yet we take them and we rarely see the claim come true. And we ask ourselves, why do they make these claims? Why do they write these books? Why did Ramon Azzago write a book on how aloe cures cancer? How many people I've seen do that and get no result whatsoever? Because some people can receive and others cannot receive. And the whole journey of health is to get yourself into a receptive state so that the intestinal villi, now I'm going to another system. Here is a system. It's called the little fingers lining your small intestine, which have to open themselves to absorb nutrient. And those little fingers in you, in that you lack an opiate response, do not absorb. And those little fingers in you absorb more. And those little fingers in you absorb magnificently. So you get your money's worth out of the herb. That's a system that has to become acquired. And there's prerequisites. And those prerequisites I'm, in essence, defining. You have to get those diaphragms opening so your body can absorb. And as it absorbs, ultimately, it absorbs to the point then where lambda opens. Now, what's lambda? And it's here we'll conclude on lambda, the Greek word lambda. Go to picture 17 or 18. Don't even blow it up. Just look at lambda. Lambda exists. Go to picture now number 15. Lambda. There it is, lambda. It exists in the top of the skull. As you soften, lambda opens. As you soften, lambda, like the fontanelle of the infant, begins to open, and it begins to draw light from the sky into the brain. And as that integrates into the perineal diaphragm of the ribcage, the ventricular system of the brain, lambda opens and draws sun in from the sky. And you will not know a care in your life, and you will be reborn. And your health concern will no longer exist. You will be a body of light. I give you that. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next week. 714-850-1007. Take a step for your health. Give us a call. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.